Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Now, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab and On, the son of Pelet, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do. Take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you, that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and ye seek the priesthood also? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord? And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, We will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou makest thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or giveth us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And Moses was very wroth, and said unto the Lord, Respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, Be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron, tomorrow. And take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer, and put fire therein, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, "Hereby shall ye know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, "Lest the earth swallow us up also." And there came out a fire from the Lord, and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, "Speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. The censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord, therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel." And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers, wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger, which is not of the seed of Aaron, come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "Ye have killed the people of the Lord." And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun." And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now, they that died in the plague were 14,700 beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Who says we don't have an action-adventure book? Oh my goodness, what a scene. So, this entire chapter takes up this entire scene from beginning to end. In the beginning, we hear of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. Now, Korah himself was a Levite, and his sons were Levites. And so they were allowed. They had been given the service, circa sacra, in and around the holy things. The sons of Aaron would go in and package all of them up. And then the sons of Korah would go in, along with others, and they would be the ones who carried them about and did some of the setup and takedown of the other things outside of the most holy things. So they did draw near to the people, to God himself, and they did set an example in standing and ministered before the people of God, but notice that they didn't have everything. They had a lot, but they didn't have everything. What did they want? Just what the covetous man wants. More. They wanted what Moses and Aaron had. And so they are the original folks that sought to level all of the playing field as far as the congregation is concerned, so that all of the congregation is holy. There is no one really that should be the leader over any other in the congregation. Everyone is competent to be his own boss. And so Korah uttered that famous line, "You take too much on you, Moses and Aaron. How is it that you elevate yourself above the congregation? Don't you know all the congregation is holy?" Then Dathan and Abiram, well, they were not Levites. They were of the tribe of Reuben, and so they didn't come near to minister around the holy things, but still they had the same opinion as Korah and his family did. And so the Lord himself, not Moses, the Lord himself sets, quote unquote, the ordeal, the trial. And so it's a very interesting passage of Scripture. Moses, for his part, and Aaron, what do they do? Well, we see them several times in this passage simply falling on their faces in entreaty before the Lord. They're not, for the most part, there are a couple of instances where there's some interaction, but mostly their interaction is with the Lord, and then they're carrying out the Lord's direction as to how to handle this rebellion in the nation. And so we find them falling down on their face. And the Lord then commands Moses to tell them, each of them, and the 250 princes, the governors, rulers in the congregation, that were not themselves Levites, to come forward and to bring their censers and to put incense therein and to wait for the Lord to light their censers. And so then He summons Dathan and Abiram, come on up to the temple to be a part of this ordeal, and they say, "We're not coming. We're staying here in our tent. We'll rule just fine from here. Thank you very much. We don't need to be a part of your silly little charade." There's much disrespect that comes from the camp of Dathan and Abiram here. And so they say to Moses, "Okay, let's get this straight. I'm gonna really boil it down into modern parlance. Let's just get this straight. Okay, you took us out of a land of milk and honey. You promised us a land of milk and honey. But where are we? We don't have any fields. We have our flocks, but we're in the middle of a desert. We're fed with this I don't know what. Will you put out the eyes of this man? Because that's the only way they're going to follow you any longer, Moses. You've promised them a land of milk and honey. You're going to have to put out their eyes and tell them they're in that land." That's what they mean when they say, "Will you put out the eyes of these men?" So notice, they have not reckoned what happened in Numbers 13. They have not taken that responsibility to themselves, where they did not believe in the Lord and would not go into the land that the Lord promised them with milk and honey. And so they have taken the blame and they've moved it off of themselves and they put it squarely on Moses and Aaron because they're the leaders. When Moses and Aaron were goading them, leading them into the land of promise, they would not listen, and now they blame them that they're not there. And so Moses then, instead of sending armed guards to gather them up and bring them to the temple, he himself, with Aaron and the elders, travel over to the tents of Dathan and Abiram. Now, when they're traveling over there, the Lord says to them, "You better separate yourselves from this wicked congregation, because I'm going to consume them." And so a part of what Moses is doing when he's traveling over there is not simply to confront Dathan and Abiram, but to tell the rest of the children of Israel, "You better get away from them because the Lord's about to move here." He goes in compassion for the rest of the nation. And he warns them what the Lord has said he's going to do. And so Dathan and Abiram, well, they come out to the door of their tent, but they won't meet with Moses. They stand there in stubborn rebellion. And so Moses says this. Here's how you'll know who is teaching you the way of the Lord. If these men go the way of all flesh, if they die a natural death, then you'll know that I have been in error. Okay, now just think with me for a moment. Which is the more extraordinary thing? If they die a natural death, or like Moses says on the second hand, but if the Lord does a new thing, and He opens the ground beneath them so that they all go down alive into that pit, and then it closes back up on them, then you'll know that the Lord has spoken to you by me, and that I've not done these things out of my own mind, that I've taught you in truth what the Lord commanded me to teach you. Which is more likely to happen? Well, it's more likely that they'll just live on and die a good old age. But not today. And so when Moses is done speaking, the children of Israel have separated themselves from the tents of Dathan and Abiram at the warning of Moses, and the ground opens up, and there goes Dathan and Abiram and their tents and their animals and their children and everything alive. What will Samuel say to Saul about 500 years from now? He'll say this: rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Is that true? Yes, it is. And so these men rebelled against the leaders that the Lord had put over them. And their rebellion was not because they had stopped teaching the way of the truth, but because they had been consistently teaching the way of the truth. And then at the same time, fire comes out from the altar of the Lord and consumes those 250 princes that were standing there with their censer waiting for the Lord to light their incense. Consumed them all. Rendered them ash. And then the Lord tells Aaron and his sons to go throughout those 250 men and gather up the brass that yet remains, that it would be nailed up to the side of the altar as a witness to the children of Israel that they should not rebel against the Lord in that way. And so the Lord consumed Korah and much of his family, and He also consumed the families of Dathan and Abiram. You think that would be enough, wouldn't it? You think that that would, wow, that's enough. Okay, we will follow you, Moses and Aaron, because you are obviously those men that the Lord has given us to rule over us and to lead us. And so we will take your lead. Nope. Wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. And so on the morrow, the next day, men from the nation rose up and said to Moses and Aaron, "You have killed the servants of the Lord." Well, that's a little bit of blame shifting, isn't it? But that's what they say. And so the Lord then, when they're gathered up against Moses and Aaron, and it looks like they're about to take them, whoom, the presence of the Lord comes down on the tabernacle, and Moses and Aaron know that they've got to go there as soon as the Lord appears there. So they go, and the Lord says, "You better get away from these men because I'm going to destroy them." And they fall down on their faces and they entreat for the people again. Well, there's great lessons for leadership here, isn't there? And there's great lessons for all of us. And so Moses turns to Aaron and he says, "Quick, Aaron, be fast. Take incense and take fire from the altar and go out into the midst of the people and make an atonement for them quickly, because the plague is broken out." And by the time Aaron gets there and stands between the living and the dead, 14,700 Israelites are perished because they rebelled against the Lord. Remember what I told you earlier? That our Lord Jesus Christ will not soft pedal with sin. He will not. He will forgive, but He will not soft pedal. He will not say it's something it's not. He will not pretend. So then the brass of those censers are put for a witness on the brazen altar. 250 of them. 250 witnesses to the fruit of rebellion. Moses, for his part, we see him throughout seeking to obey the Lord and to follow the commands of the Lord, and falling down on his face in humility, interceding for the people and begging that the Lord would not destroy them outright, even though he takes it on the chin from the people for doing so. What a great example we have in Moses of what it means to be a leader in the church. And what a great example we have from Aaron, that he would indeed work and continue to work with Moses in all of these things and remain stalwart by his younger brother's side. And what a great warning we have from the Lord as to what the fruit of rebellion truly is. So it is a very instructive chapter. May the Lord spare us from such rebellion, from such unjust rebellion. Now, there will be times in the history of redemption, perhaps even in our own futures, where we will be induced in loyalty to the Lord to rebel against an authority. But we must make sure that it is indeed in obedience to the Lord. These men, they were following their own desire. Their desire for supremacy, and then later on, the desire for a land that flows with milk and honey without submitting unto the Lord, when He had given them that land and they refused because they were unbelievers. It's too hard, they said. They had the land within their grasp, but they said it was too hard. And so they blamed their leaders for it. So there may be times when it will be lawful to resist. But it will always be verifiable that we are following the Lord in doing so. Barring that, even if our leaders are imperfect, because, let me just clue you in, they are, we must, in all lawful commands, follow them. So this is why the Apostle tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we are to obey every commandment of men for the Lord's sake, that we are to render, in Romans 13, honor to whom honor is due, custom to whom custom, tribute to whom tribute, that we are to hold in high esteem those who labor over us in the church, 1 Thessalonians 5:12. And so all of those structures of authority, they are of the Lord. And Moses and Aaron were in their places because the Lord had put them there. And the rebellion here was an unjust rebellion. They were rebelling against Christ and His Word. And they picked on Moses and Aaron because they were the focal points. Let us make sure that if we make the decision that this particular authority must be resisted, let's make sure that it's not the ordinance of God that we're resisting, but truly some usurper, something unjust, something that God has forbidden us to do, that our magistrate or churchman is commanding us to do, or some duty that God has commanded us to do that they are telling us we must never do. Let us make sure that it is in that kind of a context before we ever rebel against the authorities that God has set over us. Thus ends the reading of Numbers chapter 16. Let's stand and continue praising.